to show us what is in your word. Amen. Well, I think we are all impressed that the matter of the kingdom is a matter of life. Don't forget that. Because naturally, we are all a group of people who, in our natural concept, we see the outward things. When people ask you, what is a church? Oh, the church. We have no organization, we have no meeting hall, we have no hierarchy, we have no, boss here, Christ is our head, and we, what else? Right, we arrange our chairs differently, and we have a little blackboard, and no pastors, and we like to explain people about a church like this. But actually, the kingdom is a wonderful life. A kingdom life. If we have the reality of the life of Christ as our head, why do we need a hierarchy? What do we need a pope? Do we need a pope? No, because Christ is our head in reality. Not just here in the meeting, but in your home, who is the head? When you're working, who was the head there? Right? So in the service, who is the head? Who is directing? Who is the director? You know, people always like to be the director, but they forgot that we have a wonderful living director. His name is a director, Dr. Holy Spirit. That's our director. Because he is given to us to lead us into all truth. The Lord will tell you what to do, what not to do. Right? And who is our peace? Why do we not quarrel here? Why do we not quarrel? Because Christ is our peace. How can you quarrel if you're living Christ and I'm living Christ too, and both of us to live is this wonderful Christ? Do you think we'll quarrel? I don't think so. There will be peace among us. Right? And how come you're all so happy? Well, because John So was also always cracking joke when he was sharing, and that's why we're all so happy. Is that why you're so happy? No, because Christ is our joy. The Lord indwelling us. And we are not talking about doctrines. We are talking about the reality, the substance. That is our testimony. That is the kingdom. So when John the Baptist and the Lord says, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens draws near. What drew near? The Lord drew near. All of a sudden the Lord is there. He is not only the king, he is our life. He is our kingdom life. So eventually, the whole kingdom is the King himself dwelling in you, in me, in all of us, ruling and reigning in our heart. You're getting married soon. If the Lord is ruling in you, and the Lord is ruling in your husband-to-be, what do you have? What kind of a family do you have? It's a kingly family. That's the kingdom family. Right. That's right. But if I think I'm the head because I'm the man, and my wife here, Mary, you have to listen to me in everything, I tell you, we'll be fighting every day. We'll be fighting every day. So our testimony of the kingdom is the reality of the kingly life. How come it works here and it doesn't work elsewhere? It's a mystery. I always tell people, I can't explain to you, but I can tell you the real reason is because the king's, this wonderful life, dwells in us. If Christ is my life, Christ is your life in reality. You think we'll quarrel every day? No, this kingdom life will build us up together as this wonderful kingdom. And what can the serpent do? He can do nothing. But if I'm living my flesh, I am just a wonderful food for the serpent. Because the serpent is going to eat dust. That's what the Lord told the serpent, you're going to eat dust. And where is the dust? That's you and me. That is food for him. It's very tasty for somebody. It's very tasty. So if you walk and live according to the flesh, who are you feeding? Remember that. So if you are living in the flesh there, somebody likes it. And guess who? Oh, Lord. So, praise the Lord. Don't think I'm joking. No, I'm not joking. This is really what the Word of God says. He thrives. The devil thrives if you live by the flesh. But the kingdom of God grows if you walk and live by the Spirit. Right? And this is how we build up the church life today. Not because we don't have this, we don't have that, we're different, this and that and that. There are many things definitely different, but that's not the point. We don't have all those things. Why? Because the King within us didn't want those things. Sorry. Whatever the king doesn't like here goes out the door. No question asked. It just goes out the door. And if the door is too far, we can throw it out a window right here behind you. That is why you have to realize this morning, why I say this, because the building up of God's kingdom is 100% out of life. And yesterday we saw in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing that is needed for life as a prerequisite of life is light. Anyone who is in the life, in this kingdom life, you will see the light. If a person is walking in darkness and he says he has the light, and immediately when there was light, what did God do? He separated the light from the darkness. There has to be a separation. In our Christian life, once you are saved, you need to experience a separation of light and darkness. Because you are now saved, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that is in 1 Peter chapter 2. Who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then how can you go back to darkness? So, this is why we need the Word. Not as doctrine, but this word will give you the feeling, that will enlighten you inwardly, and the Holy Spirit will use that word and tell you, hey, that is darkness, mucha, stop, get out of darkness. Praise the Lord. If you don't learn that right from the very beginning of your Christian life, you are not able to separate light from darkness. You'll be in trouble in your whole Christian life because at the very end, you can't tell anymore what is darkness and what is light. And then even you will think, well, darkness is light and light is darkness. You're going to turn it the other way around. You're going to be upside down. No, God's kingdom is in the light. Satan's kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness. So, what is God's kingdom? Light. It's the kingdom of light. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what happened? We lie. Oh, people, I heard a lot of people say, but I believe I'm in the light. You can believe all you want, but if you're in darkness, you're in darkness. Sorry. You can believe all you like. But if you're in darkness, you're in darkness. So, again, I want to tell all the young people, especially,
The living faith in the Bible is not just believing, although it's not there, but I believe it's there. No. I can believe it's good weather. It's wonderful weather. Oh, and the temperature is 20 degrees Celsius. I believe you walk out there, it's minus 20, not 20. You can believe all you like. It's minus 11 degrees. This is not the kind of faith the Bible is talking about. No. The faith in the Bible is reaching out to the reality. God will never lie to you. No, our God is not like men that he should lie. No, our God can never lie. Right? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, why did it say that? All of a sudden, the light and the blood, they work together. Why? Because if you are in the light, your sins will be exposed. If I'm in dark and my hands are so dirty, I will think, oh, no, where is the dirt? I got very clean hands. I'm all right, and I can put my fingers in my mouth and eat, and with terrible dirty hands, I wouldn't know. So don't go to a dark restaurant somewhere. You don't know it. And all of a sudden the light shines, and I say, oh, my goodness, what happened to my hand? It's also blackened and dirty. So what do? Yeah, I go to the bathroom right there and wash my hands. It's as simple as that. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will cleanse you from all sin. But if you're in darkness, you don't feel you're wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. Why should I take the blood? I will not repent. I will not confess I'm wrong. I'm all right. I'm wrong. I'll argue with you. So, if I'm like that, and I'm in darkness, then the blood cannot cleanse me. Although the blood is a wonderful cleansing agent, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all sin. But if you're in darkness, you think you're fine. I'm so clean. My goodness, what are you talking about? My hands are so clean. You know, there's a lot of bacteria you don't see. You don't see. There are many things you don't see until it's put in microscope. But God sees everything. So if you are in the light, as he is in the light, then we'll have fellowship. So real fellowship is not just, oh, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, praise the Lord, let's sit down and talk. Talk? What are you going to talk about? Pretty soon your talk turns into argument. And your argument's talking to fight. Let's talk. Fellowship? Is that fellowship? How are you going to fellowship? In the dark? So light is very important. Light is very essential for life. If there is life, there must be the light. Because John, who is an expert concerning the matter of eternal life, the life of God. And remember, the Lord Jesus says, I am the life. So life is not just something very lively, but life is the Lord himself. Christ, who is our life, is the kingdom life. How can a kingdom life be in darkness? So light is essential. And the first thing that God did is to separate light from darkness. And this is very, very important in the kingdom life in the church. Is there so much unrighteousness and sinful things and darkness in the church? Well, that cannot be God's kingdom. No. Because God is light. Can you turn on all this wonderful light? You didn't change it yet, right? You didn't turn on all the light, and we are still in darkness. Can it be? No. No. If there's light, darkness is gone. If there's no light, darkness comes back in. Light and darkness cannot coexist. It cannot. It cannot. So there is immediately a separation in the first day. So if we say we have life and we don't even experience God's creation in the first day light, or God's work within you could not even pass the first day, then what kind of life? Remember, there are 6 days. You know, I would prefer God would say right from the very beginning, and let there be everything, and there was everything. Let's done, finish. Well, wouldn't that be good? That'd be great, right? Right? Wouldn't you like that? Well, you see, I agree with you. I like that. But it doesn't work like that. Sorry. Sorry. Because in reality, in real life, it does not work like that. You think God can do all miracles? No, God follows the principle of life. He is not going to jump from step one all the way to the last step. No. There is the principle of God's work here. Follows that principle. Anyone who wants to grow in life, in the kingdom life, you have to follow the principle. You cannot jump, you cannot skip, you cannot always, all of a sudden you go from kindergarten to sixth grade. You may be maybe a genius, I don't know. But how many genies are there? It was in a blue moon. I haven't seen a blue moon yet. Right? So, no. You have to understand this wonderful living God. So, day one. What God did in day one. Because His work is a work of life. So, He cannot produce any life in darkness. No, it's not possible. So He has to prepare firstly the condition for this life. So the light is the first condition. And then the second condition was the second day. So God, after He saw what He did in the first day, it was good. He waited until the second day. So that means there is a progression that is going on. Our Christian life must be a life that progresses. Any form of life progresses. Plant life, animal life, human life, but also the divine life that is planted into you follows the principles of growth and progression. That is why yes, I'm a Christian, but a Christian in a baby stage. Right? So, then we come to the second day. And in the second day, what did God create? What did God make? God, actually, He did not just make, but He did not just create. He barely separated the water below and the water above, because the whole thing was covered with water. So God made the firmament, the atmosphere, the firmament. You know, why this earth is so livable? Why not in the moon? I tell you, there is a wonderful atmosphere here on this earth, in this planet, that is very suitable for life. You have the air, you have the oxygen here, a wonderful atmosphere that is very suitable for life. Otherwise, you cannot live on this earth. You cannot breathe. You cannot breathe. How can you live? So the atmosphere, the firmament, was made by the Lord in the second day. Now, you have to observe that in these 6 days, the earth was not mentioned as a factor of creation, because the earth was already there, covered with water because of judgment. The earth was already created in the beginning. We don't know when that beginning was, but it was already there. And then, we don't know how long it existed, how long the angelic being ruled in those days before it fell and the judgment came, and then the Lord came and renovated. We didn't know. The Bible didn't tell us. Right? But here, now, in order to recover, make this planet livable again, to be full of life again, the Lord has to firstly again recover the light of that letter design. Light in a general term. Right? And then the firmament. And if we go now to Genesis chapter 1, then God says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Then God called the firmament heaven. Now, all of a sudden, the terminology, the word heaven, heavenly, the realm that is above from the realm that is below. Right? Just to give everybody an impression, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We put it here. I'm sorry, chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15 here, beginning in verse 45. We are going to go quickly, okay, because let's try to at least touch the main things here. Beginning in verse 44, okay, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So there is a natural realm, and there is a spiritual realm. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. It should be soul there. But last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not the first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, earthly. Now the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Now, let me just go to, let us take Colossians. How about Colossians is probably the best simple that touches this point of what is earthly and what is heavenly. Right. Amen. If then, chapter 3, you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Well, now you have the things which are above. Are you concerned with things which are below, or are you concerned with things which are above? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are earthly, dusty, earthly, things that are below. For you died. The old man died. The man who is earthly, who is natural. The natural man. We died with Christ, right? Paul says, I have been crucified, or the old man has been crucified with Christ. Right? So, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So, now here, you can see the two categories of things. The second category, the second day, the Lord have made a firmament, which is very crucial for the existence of life, the heavenly life. There. Now, you have the life that is real life. This is the heavenly life. So, you have things that are above and things that are below. So, what are you concerned with today? Things that are spiritual or things that are natural. So, if you go to, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Right. Paul says here, verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing or sharing spiritual things with spiritual means. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual, meaning to say here, but the spiritual man discerns or judges all things. So here you can see Paul made a difference between a spiritual man and a natural man. Now we Christians can be either natural because you don't know the Spirit, or you can be a spiritual Christian who lives by the Spirit. So now, in the second day, you have to advance from just light and darkness. It is relatively easy, you know, to separate light and darkness. But in the second day, you must learn to separate what is heavenly and what is earthly, what is spiritual and what is natural. If as a Christian you cannot discern what is spiritual and what is natural, you are just in your natural realm. Sorry, nobody can help you. Nobody can help you. Because naturally, it's not bad things. To be natural doesn't necessarily mean bad, but it's not spiritual in nature. Right? So, you have to be able to discern what is spiritual, what is of the Spirit, and just what is of natural human doctrines and way of thinking. You cannot teach people. Because if you don't advance to the second day where you can separate what is heavenly, what is from above, and what is earthly, you know, to be earthly doesn't necessarily means bad things, remember. But darkness is really bad, okay? There is no such thing as good darkness, no. But earthly can be something good. Can be something good, something okay. It's not bad. So we Christians many times judge things by, oh, it's not bad, so let's do it. Well, but the question is not whether it's bad or good. The question is whether it's from above, whether it's heavenly, whether the Lord wants it or not. Oh, I want to go to Caribbean. Oh, it's not bad to go to Caribbean. I'm not going there to gamble. I just go there and enjoy one week of lying down under the sun and enjoy it. Not the S-O-N, but S-U-N, right? Enjoy the sun. It's not wrong. It's not sinful to lie there. But I don't ask the Lord. Lord, do you want me to go? Is it your will? Is it from you? Is it the Spirit that leads me there? Is it another story? So, but if I don't go to the second day experience of the second day, the separation of what is spiritual, what is natural, what is heavenly, what is earthly, there is such a separation. Because the Lord is going to bring in His life. So many things other people have the liberty to do. But if you are a person who is in fellowship with the Lord, in the kingdom life, you may not necessarily want to do it. Because you know the separation between what is spiritual and what is natural. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. You didn't become a bad man, no. Living soul. Not bad. But the second man is heavenly. So which man do you belong now? Do you belong to the first man or you belong to the second man? So in the New Testament, after resurrection, the Lord created a new man. And He got rid of the old man. So, but we Christians still love the old man. We don't like the new man. We are not used to the new man. Just like a pair of shoes. You like to wear old shoes. It's more comfortable. New shoes, though, it's not so comfortable. And so, spiritually, it's exactly the same. Your old habits come back. So, the Lord wants to make us heavenly. So, now there is a heavenly realm. As Christians, for the kingdom, for God's life, there's a kingdom life, you need to more and more realize what is heavenly. Now, how? You should tell the Lord, Lord, enlighten me. Show me. You cannot force people to be heavenly. No, you cannot. No. Right? Now, let's quickly go to the third category, the third separation. So, in the third day, the Lord separated the water from the dry land because the water covered up the whole land there because of judgment. So, the Lord separated the water from the dry land. The third day, according to the Bible, the third day is actually the day of resurrection. The number three is a number for resurrection. So, to separate the dry land from the dead waters, now you have a third